This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we continue our series on rural issues and the presidential campaign. Today we go to New Mexico and talk about wind power. We'll also get a forecast coming up from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Champaign school board members are to vote tonight on a new contract for Unit 4's teachers. The contract reportedly covers 3 years dating back to last July and gives most teachers a 4.5% pay raise each year, though union and district officials aren't releasing official details of the agreement. It was reached last month, but the ratification vote for the Champaign Federation of Teachers was not unanimous. Some Stratton Elementary School teachers had lobbied against it, saying they work extra time for unequal compensation compared with other teachers. As the city of Champaign gets ready for a second winter under its mandatory snow shoveling policy, the city manager says the plan has worked pretty well, but it could use some tweaking. The policy requires downtown and campus town property owners to clear snow from their public sidewalks when accumulation is 2 inches or more. Owners have 48 hours to act once an official announcement is made. Last winter, the policy called for not making that announcement on weekends or holidays, giving a breather to property owners who may be out of town. But City Manager Steve Carter says in the case of a snowstorm last December, the announcement didn't come out until after the snow had been packed down and turned to solid ice. Carter says in those cases, he thinks it's better to make the announcement immediately, but delay enforcement.
If that's the timing of the storm, let's not preclude the public works director from providing notice on Friday. Most people are going to use the weekend to clear their walks anyway, so let's go ahead and provide the notice on Friday, then we can start enforcement on Monday, and it doesn't drag out the period of time so long that it's not meaningful anymore.
Champaign City Council members will review the city's sidewalk snow removal policy at its study session tomorrow night. Carter says overall most property owners cooperated with the new policy last winter and that sidewalks were cleared of snow quickly in downtown and campustown. Property tax bills in the city of Urbana went up 3.4% for owners of existing homes last year. The new tax levy is estimated to send those bills up another 2.9%. The Urbana City Council will discuss the tentative tax levy at its Committee of the Whole meeting tonight. The tax levy increase proposed by City Comptroller Ron Eldridge comes out to 8.9%. That includes the 2.9% increase for existing homes, plus increases due to new construction and annexations, and the disputed properties for Carl Foundation Hospital, which is challenging its tax-exempt status. The tax levy refers to the total number of dollars the city may legally raise through property taxes. It may not affect the tax rate, but it could be raised through higher property assessments. Early voting begins today in counties across Illinois, and voters are expected to take advantage of the Columbus Day holiday to hit the polls before Election Day. In Champaign County and many other counties, offices are closed for the holiday except for registration, voter registration. This year marks the first presidential general election to have early voting in Illinois. The State Board of Elections says the number of people voting early has increased with every election. In the 2008 primary, almost 11% of votes were cast before Election Day. In most cases, early voting sites will be different from the polling places for the November 4th election. Early voting must be done in person. The State Board says the votes cast in October won't be counted until Election Day. Early voting runs through October 30th. The market crisis could take one option for funding an Illinois infrastructure plan off the table. That's according to the state treasurer, as Amanda Vinicky explains.
On various occasions, Illinois has looked to lease the state's lottery. It would be a way to bring in a lot of money to pay for construction projects, education, or other state needs without raising taxes. The latest proposal won House approval last month. It stipulates in order for a lease to happen, a private firm would have to pay at least $10 billion. State Treasurer Alexi Janulius predicts that isn't going to happen because of the economy.
It's going to make it a lot more difficult to do because there's no liquidity in the marketplace. It's tough, even if there's someone who maybe wanted to pay $10 billion or $11 billion or whatever it is. There's just not that many people out there with that kind of capital.
The General Assembly so far has been unable to agree on either a lottery lease or an infrastructure program. Financing construction projects now could also be tough because that relies on selling bonds, and the market conditions make it a hard time to raise capital. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The couple who were killed in a highway accident Saturday near Fithian has been identified as 28-year-old Jennifer Allen and 35-year-old Robbie Allen of Georgetown. The Vermilion County coroner says Jennifer Allen apparently lost control of the car on the narrow gravel pavement of Lincoln Trail Road in Fishtail. That's when a fully loaded grain truck struck the passenger side of the car. The Allens were pronounced dead at the scene. A proposal to erect a memorial plaque for a goose is on the Urbana City Council agenda tonight. A group of local residents is offering to pay for the plaque in memory of a Chinese goose that mingled with the wild Canadian geese at Crystal Lake Park for 18 years. A group of local residents is offering to pay for the plaque in memory of a Chinese goose that mingled with the wild Canadian geese at Crystal Lake Park for 18 years. The goose, who was known to visitors as Mr. Goose, the Boss, or Chung King, died this past spring. George Boyd says the Chinese goose sired many goslings with some of the Canadian geese, but his parental instinct went beyond his own offspring.
He was very attentive to all the small geese, regardless of whose geese they were. He showed them around the lake, and usually after they got a little larger and they were swimming well, they'd take a parade around the lake periodically, with him at the front and the parents at the back. And it was just a really great sight.
Boyd says the Chinese goose was a favorite of park visitors and should be remembered. The Urbana Park District has been cool to the idea of a memorial, but the city council will consider the idea tonight. Boyd says he and other supporters would pay for a plaque remembering the goose to be installed at the Broadway Avenue Bridge near the pool where the Chinese goose spent most of his time. Alderman Dennis Roberts says he thinks the goose memorial can be a springboard for a discussion of city policy regarding all memorial plaques. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. It's the second week of our special series where AM 580 and public radio stations across the country are examining the presidential race and how it affects rural America. The candidates, economists, environmentalists, even a legendary oil man, have all got the bug for wind power. And in Taos, New Mexico, two men are hoping their plan for a major wind project could transform the dusty high desert. Reporter Eric Mack visited the site to talk about some of the challenges involved and the role that this year's election is playing in those plans.
Drive west from Taos, New Mexico, and cross the spectacular Rio Grande Gorge, then past the community of Earthships, which has nothing to do with anything sci-fi. It's actually a sustainably built kind of home made from recycled materials. Pass those and keep heading west, and you'll find yourself right in the middle of nothing. Here in this empty high desert, dotted with sagebrush and the occasional cow or sheep, is where 80-something Taosino Eliu Romero sees both his past and, hopefully, his future.
I was born just a few miles east of here, where we are right now. If you look to the east right now, you see the tower up in the top of that mound up there?
I'm in Romero's truck with him and his business partner, Bill Lockwood, who's helping me to see the thin needle of a wind study tower the two men hope will be the first step to changing Taos County forever. It's actually not much to look at, but Lockwood sees much more.
You can imagine it right now. Turbines all through here. Can you see that? Like, you know, 13 per square mile, if you can visualize that. Having a visitor center right about here off the road where school children from town and, you know, high school could learn about renewable energy, not only wind, but about solar and hydrogen.
The duo is a bit of an odd couple. Lockwood is half Romero's age, formerly a finance guy from Chicago turned actor. He followed a path to Taos familiar to many newcomers around here. He rode his motorcycle out for a vacation and never left. He married a local woman from Taos Pueblo whose roots go even deeper than Romero's. Romero is something of a community patriarch. He founded a respected and successful local bank and spent 5 decades practicing law before deciding it was time for something new. With their ability to relate across this diverse community, the area's struggling rural economy, and Taos's reputation as an alternative energy mecca, you might think their wind farm plan would be a slam dunk. But Romero says a handful of loud voices have slowed down the process.
We were amazed that people would object to such a project in this vicinity, especially way out here. As you can see, there's miles around you. There's nothing. This is as sparsely populated as you can find anywhere.
The county commission has put off a decision on allowing the wind farm to go forward, allowing for further study and information gathering. But beyond the usual not-my-backyard kind of complaints, Critics of projects like the one planned here point to the lack of an updated power grid and transmission lines to rural places like Taos County. But the stars could be aligning to change that. Prominent oil man T. Boone Pickens has put his name and money behind a plan to develop wind power. He recently told reporters at the National Press Club that the grid is due for an upgrade anyway.
Thomas Edison came back tomorrow, he would be very familiar with some of the stuff we're using because it was some of the stuff he invented. So it's old, and we need a 21st century grid, and it's now's the time to do it.
Pickens has met with both the presidential candidates about his plan for energy independence, and they seem to be listening, if they hadn't made up their minds already. Barack Obama told a crowd in South Dakota that wind would be part of his new renewable energy Apollo project that would help revitalize rural America.
And we'll invest in clean energy sources like wind and solar so that by 2025, America can meet a new standard that will require 25% of all our electricity comes from renewable sources.
John McCain has his own plan. He calls it the Lexington Project, and wind factors in heavily, as he told a crowd in Oregon last May.
We all know that wind is a clean and predictable source of energy, and it's just about as renewable as anything on Earth. Wind power will bring America closer to energy independence.
But behind all the campaign rhetoric, one of the actual policies that people like Pickens, Romero, and Lockwood are watching is the production tax credit for wind power. The credit for wind was recently extended for another year, but the solar credit was extended for 8 more years. Lockwood says a longer extension for wind would give a big boost and help stabilize the future of the industry. With the election day just around the corner, I had to ask him,
independent of your own political views, if this wind project got a vote for president, who would it vote for?
I'd say Barack Obama. He vowed to put $15 billion a year for the next 10 years into renewable energy. Being that in the T. Boone Pickens commercial says we're spending $700 billion a year on foreign oil. That doesn't seem like a lot, but it's still a lot more than we have now.
I recorded that interview just hours before the first presidential debate, when Barack Obama said some energy spending may need to be delayed, and John McCain called for a non-essential spending freeze to focus on the financial crisis. So at the moment, it looks that wind power is up in the air in Washington. But in Taos, at least two guys are betting that the winds of change will continue to blow here as they always have. I'm Eric Mack in Taos, New Mexico.
Our forecast calls for a little bit of a cool down by midweek, but today we'll see a high of around 82 degrees in Champaign-Urbana. Temperatures across the two-state area will range from 76 in northwest Illinois to 84 in the southern part of Indiana with a mix of clouds and sun. Winds today from the southeast to south at 8 to 16 miles an hour. For tonight, in northern and west central Illinois, clouds with scattered showers arriving. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy, and lows from 50 in northwest Illinois to 63 in the south, 60 in Champaign-Urbana tonight. For tomorrow, cloudy with some scattered showers, and a high of around 75 degrees in the Champaign-Urbana area, around 60 in far northwest Illinois, 84 in the far south. Looking ahead, a low of 54 tomorrow night with a chance of a few showers. Periods of rain Wednesday, the high of around 70. But sunshine returns by Thursday with a high of 67. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.